If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hi, and welcome back to the Frequency Shifter Show. Today's episode was really exciting, and it was a powerful one for me. Rebecca Keating, I'd actually been trying to get on the show since season two, so I was thrilled to finally have her on season three. Her business is called The Shaman Sisters. We get into crystals and shamanism, ceremony and prayer and all of that. But most importantly to me, we talked about Combo, which was, it's a frog medicine, a shamanic frog medicine. You'll just listen to find out a lot more, but it was the first time that I actually shared my journey with Combo, which was something that had been suggested to me repeatedly to help with my Lyme disease symptoms. And it's interesting because they told me that I needed to go back and I didn't. I started having flare-ups again. So I'm like ready to schedule my next Combo session already. And I think we might have convinced Alex to try it. I don't know.
I'm pretty close. I've been researching people in San Diego based on Rebecca's advice and like where to look and her experiences. But what I loved about this episode, she really breaks down what Combo is, why it serves us, how it helps us. We also talk about, I loved getting to hear about your experience, which I knew, but with somebody who knows about Combo. I liked that we talked about indigenous practices, and we like really challenged her as a white woman to, you know, as a white woman who leads indigenous practices, we really asked her to look at, you know, the responsibility and that requires and how do you take that on? And it was pretty beautiful how she spoke about it. And I love that she was open to even fielding that question because a lot of people I think wouldn't have been. It was a great episode. And yeah, she definitely has me wanting to have toads, venom or saliva put in.
Yeah. Would you call it the toad medicine?
The toad medicine. Yeah.
It's a frog from the jungle, but you know, again, check out the episode and let us know what you think. Welcome to another episode of the Frequency Shifter Show. So excited to have Rebecca Keating of the Shaman Sisters here with us today, who we've been trying to get on the show for quite a while now. So thrilled to be having this conversation. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here with us. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And thank you for your patience. And thank you for having me on here. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I know we have so many juicy things to talk about, but I would love if you could just maybe start off by sharing a little bit of your journey to becoming a shaman or, you know, shamanessa, as they sometimes call it, a woman shaman.
Yeah, so I was, my journey started quite early, and I was in nursing school, actually, and so I was becoming a registered nurse. And I was also on my healing journey and healing from a lot of traumas and things. And so I was seeking seeking something, and I came across energy healing. And as soon as I started learning about energy healing, I was like, I'm in the wrong career. And I was in my second year of nursing, and I was like, oh no. But I knew it was part of my journey, and that kept being confirmed. So I continued with nursing, but all along the way, I began doing energy healing, and then I got into shamanic work. And actually, how I got into that was when I was a nursing student and working in hospitals and stuff, I was really getting affected by energies. I was getting exhausted and picking up on all this stuff. And I went to see a shaman, and the shaman recommended black tourmaline to me. And I wasn't into crystals at all. She said, you know, you need to put this in your home and wear it to work, and taught me how to start smudging with sage. And when I implemented those things, it was like a game changer for me. And so throughout my entire nursing career, I was using those. And then I started going into shamanic training and doing many different types of shamanic training. And eventually that led me to, at a certain point, leave nursing and completely move into this whole new realm that I do with crystals and shamanic work and healing. And so it's been quite a journey. And I'm also very grateful that I'm able to do what I do, and that I was able to kind of step away from my conventional training and do what I do now.
Will you tell us a little bit about your shamanic training? It's something I recently have been really curious about. Like, how does, you know, it's one thing if you grew up right in Peru in the middle of the jungle and there's a shaman in your community, and when you're not in that, how does one go about shaman training, and what does that look like?
Yeah, so there's different types, obviously, many different lineages and different types of training that a person can do. And I've done a variety of different types of trainings. One of the main trainings that I did was a practitioner program, and it was several years. And it involved like weekend retreats and sweat lodges and things like that. And there are many trainings out there. So a person could go and take like an actual practitioner training, or they could find a shaman who was willing to apprentice them. And traditionally it would normally be like the shaman would usually choose the apprentice. So in our modern world, it is a little different. But sometimes like you can go on like a weekend retreat, which wouldn't train somebody to be a shaman. But even just a lot of people want to just implement the shamanic practices into their life. And there's so many different options for that. And you could also travel to, you know, to South America, and if you were interested in those lineages.
Do you have, just out of curiosity, like, do you have a recommendation? Did you enjoy, like, was your training something that you would send someone else to go do? Can you share what it was?
So one of my trainings, they're called the Institute of Shamanic Medicine. And I definitely would recommend them. They're lovely two women. And I think they do some virtual stuff. They are currently on Salt Spring Island. And So they do retreats and things like that. And so we would go there for like 2 weeks and do like recapitulation and vision quests and things like that. So I would recommend them. There's also, I haven't personally been trained, but I think in the US there's the Four Winds Society, and a lot of people will go to, like, I think it's called the Light Body School. Some of my Andean teachings come from, not from Alberto, but from other people who sort of trained him, actually, some of the Andean teachings that I have. So I know that the Four Winds is another option for people that can be quite good and recommended as well.
Can you tell us more about what a vision quest is?
I'm sure
it's more like intense. I've had some really intense like shamanic visualization experiences. So I'm curious if you've had any intense or transformational experiences on that part of the journey.
Yeah. So one of the vision quests that I went on was essentially like you're out in the middle of nowhere, like in the forest. you get no lights, you get no clothes. The clothes you're wearing, but nothing else. You get no blankets and no food. And you're essentially just there. And the whole purpose of it, of this particular vision quest, was to really work through fear, because it's kind of scary at nighttime in the forest with nothing. And you're
for how long?
This one was just one night. Some people will do vision quests for many days. So it wasn't that bad, but sometimes people will do vision quests for a lot longer. I haven't done a vision quest for that long. It was just one night, but it was still quite scary not having anything at all. So, and then you're hearing, you know, wolves and things like that. So yeah, it was quite the experience.
I love that. Like, kind of just getting a peek into what that is. What is, I think I shared this with you before we started, and I'll give a little context for the audience. Recently when I was working with some men, and we were using like energy practices, and it was simply to introduce them to different things that they weren't familiar with, and how these things weren't like just for women, that a lot of these men were, you know, things like sage and Palo Santo and candles, they viewed as like a very female energetics. And it was kind of, we just really opened the door for them as, hey, this is simply a way that we shift energy, that we move energy. And I'm not the expert on exactly each thing, but let's just open this conversation. And one of the men really beautifully said, hey, this makes me feel really uncomfortable because I notice a lot of these practices come from indigenous cultures. And I noticed that as white people, we're just taking this thing and now using it for ourselves. And it opened up a great conversation about bringing reverence and the respect and paying that to the cultures that it came from. And how do we do that? And so I am very curious with you, like, where does that come up in your space? Again, I don't know your background. I don't know, you know, and so please just share with us how that's impacted you and your relationship to that.
Yeah, I think it's a really important topic, and it's one that, you know, my teachers really instilled in me, and also just like working alongside and with various different tribes and communities. I used to regularly go to indigenous sweat lodges, and there was a lot of teachings around this type of thing. And there's a lot of different viewpoints and different ways in which people will handle the topic. But I think the reverence part is extremely important, and the respect and the not just taking things and taking ownership, because some people will just, without permission, you know, like I, for example, one of my sisters who was a pipe carrier, we used to sing indigenous songs together, and there were songs that were gifted to her that she would sing with me, but I did not have permission to go and take those songs and teach them to other people, specific ones for specific purposes. So just in having the permission to do certain things, and then also giving back to indigenous peoples, if we're using their practices and things like that, and supporting them, like through my shaman sisters, I do support a lot of indigenous people, and I have healers that come and do drum circles, and I purchase their tools and bring them, put them on my website. And so I think just really understanding and also learning the history of what has occurred, and really understanding where a lot of indigenous people are coming from, because there's still a lot of trauma to heal. And, you know, we are a part of that healing is also us kind of like joining with them, and kind of holding hands with them also, and being respectful and reverent, and, you know, having that as an important part of our practices.
Really well said. Thanks.
I was going to ask, how do you go about doing that? I know a lot of shamans or just energetic teachers I often will use it at like the beginning of a meditation or a practice, like honoring our roots and where we come from and where the practices come from and things like that. Do you have like a specific way of like using it in your initiate, like in, wait, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the initial part, there's a specific word, but I can't think of it right now.
I like to do land acknowledgements. So like learning about the land that you're on. And then when I'm doing like a specific ceremony, I will do a land acknowledgement. And I also had to learn how to do that properly because there's a proper way to do a land acknowledgement. And then also learning how to pronounce the words. And then also like on specific holidays, like I've learned more and more in my learning that like some specific holidays are connected to like, you know, essentially like the stripping away of Indigenous rights. And so I will often make that holiday about maybe giving back to Indigenous people and promoting awareness around what the real meaning of that is, like Thanksgiving, for example. And so it's just learning, and there's so much to learn. I don't know if I answered your question, though. Is that the answer?
No, you did. It's shocking to find out about the holidays. I'm so glad that there are people out there now doing that, because so much of it, like you said, it's just about education. And once people know, the word I was looking for actually was invocation. Once people know, then you can do things like that. Like it's so much about just bringing the intentionality and having, I think, having the conversations.
Is there a great place that you can like, you know, send people? Obviously, there's a lot of people out there that are doing things like buying their sage on Amazon, right? Or like, you know, anything like that. And how does one know if you wanted to, if you're sitting listening to this and you're like, well, I like use these things, I actually would really like to give back. Do you have, you know, if you're going to purchase things, are there great places to go that you can purchase like from Indigenous communities? Are there other resources that you know of that you can share for people that want to provide more support in various ways? Are there places that they can go explore to learn how or how they can do that?
Yeah, there's a number of websites actually, which I could share with you, and maybe they can add it to the podcast.
Sure.
There are a number of websites that have a lot of like education, a lot of history and just different things, because a lot of people like as you're asking, like they just don't understand. And so you can seek out those websites. Also, even just like even Googling, like buying certain things from Indigenous people and supporting the artists as well. There's another Indigenous woman who also has a book out. Her name is Asha Frost. And she's local here. She's someone I really respect for just the way she approaches the whole topic. It's very inclusive, but she's also doing a lot of teachings and sharing. And it's not from a place of, you know, because some people are still carrying a lot of trauma. And of course, there's trauma and anger and things like that. But it's coming from a loving place that is inclusive. So I really respect her work. So she's someone I would recommend people to check out. And then I can send you some websites.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, we'll drop those in the show notes below. I would love to talk. We talked a little bit about this before we got started today, but I would love to go the direction of combo. You know, I'd shared with you, I had a really life-changing and intense experience with the medicine with one of my healers and shamans from Chile. And yeah, it was an incredible experience, absolutely life-changing. Could you just tell us like what it is a little more about it, just to educate people who maybe never heard of combo before, and we can dive into that a little bit.
Yeah. So combo is it's a secretion that comes from the tree frog from the Amazon. And it's from South America. My first experience with it was in Peru, actually. And right away, I had never heard of it either. I just was there and we went there for other things and ended up doing combo. And I felt really drawn to work with this medicine because I had such a profound shift from it. So it's a secretion that actually goes onto the skin. And it's a detoxification immune system booster. It cleanses the emotional body, the spiritual body, all the energy fields. It's a very physical process. So a lot of people who have like health issues like Lyme, HIV, or drug addictions, depression, they will come to it for that. A lot. I also get a lot of people who have these like mystery illnesses that have tried like all the conventional stuff, all the natural thing, and nothing has worked. And like I've had some certain, like one person, for example, had like one session, and 80% of this mystery thing that was going on with her was gone. So it's an intelligence, like other plant medicines, it's very intelligent, and it knows what the body needs to heal. So it's an incredible medicine. It's not the most pleasant procedure as you've experienced.
No, and we should talk about that. But it's actually a peptide, right? So I came to it because of Lyme disease. People just kept telling me. I ended up doing ayahuasca too. I did like a whole like a 6-month kind of treatment plan with. I did 3 combo sessions and 2 ayahuasca sessions. Along with like I use Seneca drops and which I'm like addicted to using now and repay, and I like just don't feel right without them. But it was a really a whole intense journey. But I came to the combo because people just kept telling me about it for my Lyme disease, and I had kind of exhausted everything, and I had like some lingering symptoms that I was just, you know, I was using sound bowl healing, I'm a Reiki master, meditation, yoga, toxin free, everything. Like I'd done so much, but there was this lingering thing I just wanted to crush. You know, I was like, I just felt like there was more deeper I could go with my healing journey. And that was where combo came in. It was not pleasant. And so I had 3 sessions. The first session, I was so sick and I threw up the entire time, and it was like black. And then the next time, they grew up again, full time, very intense, sweating, you know, so intense, and throwing, but it was like yellow, clear by the end. And then the last session I had, I didn't throw up at all. And I did 7. I had 7, I think.
Points, yeah.
Points. So it was like really crazy to be feeling the relief and have like the whole experience and like the kind of visualizations and things I had as I was going through the experience as well. But actually seeing that process of what I was releasing was absolutely wild. Especially the first one. I was like, what is this? What is this coming out? It was really, really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always different colors, different things coming out. I have like a lot of candida. It's very common for people to have a lot of candida in the body. I've also seen like nanotechnology come out many times, like things like metallic type stuff, very inorganic. So it really gets to like the way I describe it, like you can do all the detoxing and the candida cleanses and all this stuff, but there are certain things like, when you see how sticky candida is, it's like glue. Like that is never coming out of the body on its own. So it's those types of things that it pulls out of the cells. And also like when you mentioned the peptides, it has, I can't remember the exact number, somewhere around 20 different peptides. And they all have different actions. And the pharmaceutical industry has been able to replicate, I think, something like 5 of them or so. And they put them into pharmaceuticals, but they're not able to replicate all of them. And it is legal, which is really good that it is a legal substance. And hopefully it stays that way.
To get some more clarity, I've not had this experience. It does, but from what I've been told, right, it's not a hallucinogenic. It doesn't get you. You're not high, correct? Right. This is This is more of a body release. You're conscious. You might not want to do things because you might be having an experience as Corinne described. But is that correct? Right. This is not people don't do this for fun or to get high or to go on a journey.
That's right. Yeah, it's definitely
not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun, and it's not psychedelic. It's the odd person will have a psychedelic, maybe a vision or something, but in general, it feels much more physical.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, especially if it's their first time, like they're nervous and things, and it's the result after. That's why we do Camel. We don't do it for the actual process, although. Maybe the odd crazy person enjoys it. And a lot of times...
Yeah. Worth it. So worth it. Especially if you have something serious that you're like really trying to release, I think. Did we even say that it comes from a frog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did we say that part? The frog, that's one of the things that happens is I can feel it. Like literally thinking about it right now, I can feel it the whole all in me right now. The way that your face puffs up, the puffy frog cheeks, and it feels kind of like your head is going to explode off of your body for just like a few seconds.
Yeah.
But I did have visions, but I think it's because I'm very visual and I'm a Reiki master and that's like my flares. Like I'm very visual. And so I could see in my mind, like I could visually kind of sense what I was releasing, the trauma and the different scenarios and things that had impacted me. So.
Yeah. Some people will have visions. In general, though, it's the physical process that people are. But it's not that bad, and it's well worth. Like I had mentioned, I've had really good success with Lyme, extremely good. And other things like HIV, and you know, all sorts of things, severe depression, addictions, amazing for addictions. So really a really great medicine.
What about people?
It's like an immune reset, right? Oops, like the peptide. Right.
Yes.
Like resets the immune system.
Totally resets and the hormonal system as well. Yeah. So it's great to do like a series of three and then your immune system is totally boosted. Like if I ever get something compared to like my partner, I'm like way better than him if I get something even. Usually I don't, but if I do, he's like 10 times worse.
So even for somebody, let's say I'm listening to this and I'm like, well, I want to have this experience. I want to like cleanse myself and I want to have this experience. There's nothing like labeled as wrong, right? There's not like a surface level, like, hey, this is the issue I'm dealing with. But I relate to is that, hey, we're all getting battered with toxins constantly, right? No matter how we live, we live in a world that is just overwhelming with toxins. And we're so many of them are like in our bodies. So I'm hearing it as like, it's great for anyone, right? Regardless of whether you're dealing with something or not.
Yes.
And you just want to be more clear, more healthy. You want to be able to respond better to just the right everyday colds or germs. Where do people, obviously you help people with this, but you're in Canada. I think Corinne, you did yours in your experience in South America, I think.
My shaman was actually visiting in Chicago. So like
okay.
Chicago, I know people in Chicago and New York City. So people can reach, if they want a connection there, you can find people too on like, on the line, but I would trust Rebecca. I would love to hear from you where you recommend.
Because yeah. How do you find people?
I have my shaman that I trust, but like, it's a very nerve-wracking thing to just like go to anybody out there that's a practitioner.
Yeah, I would suggest Googling like Campbell practitioner and then definitely doing your research on that person. I feel like with Campbell, experience makes a very big difference in how you're served because, you know, various different ways of working with the medicine. It's a very safe medicine, but I feel like experience is really key, having someone who's quite experienced with it and then just doing your research and making sure that feels like a right fit is important and making sure that they're like they have the actual Campbell training, because some people they go to South America and then they start serving camel and they're not trained. It happens.
I'm actually thinking about doing the training because I want to be able to do it for myself because I'm feeling like I'm wearing back down. Like I need to, they told me I would probably need to do it every year.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling like I need to do it again. But yeah, maybe I'll be a practitioner one day.
Yeah. And there's some good schools that actually will teach you how to, as a first level, how to just administer it to yourself. And then you can move on to the next levels and do practitioner if you want to.
Is there anything that people, you know, if I were talking to somebody about ayahuasca, let's say, I would never want to like push somebody into that. I really want people to feel called to that on their own. I'm happy to share my experience and how magical it was. I also always share how dark the parts of it were, right? I don't want to like gloss over that it's this amazing, one of the best experiences of my life and also one of the most terrifying at times. And like, I share like, hey, this was my experience. Is there anything in this that obviously you said there's like purging from the combo. Is there anything that people should know that's kind of like not the nice, like a healing side of it that people we would want to like share with people also? I don't know. There might not be.
I mean, it's just more of the, like, it's just more of the uncomfortableness of it. And so that's like more of the thing. Like, it's not something that a person would just jump into that didn't know what they were getting themselves into because they would think they were, you know, they would be very scared. It's more the comfortableness. The other thing, like, people can faint on it as well. And it's good for people to know that, you know, there's a possibility that they might faint, which is okay. It's you're in safe hands and it can happen. It's actually common. But I think that's about it. Like, it really, like, when you leave this ceremony, when you're done, you typically feel really good. You might be tired, but after that, there is an integration, but it's nothing like, I mean, depending on the person, there can be more heavier integration, but some of the other plant medicines are a little more heavy on the integration. With Cambo, you feel pretty good, and then you're just like more clear, more grounded, especially if you go in as a healthy person. You're just going for, you know, clearing, detoxification, boosting your immune system. You usually just feel more grounded, more clear, even like maybe some habits that you didn't realize you had get shifted. So things just kind of start to shift.
I know we haven't talked about crystals yet. Probably a direction we should go, given your amazing shop, the Shaman Sisters. Do you have a direction you want to go with that, like a favorite crystal? I am recently obsessed with moldavite and starting to work with some of the like higher energetic crystals.
Mm-hmm.
A little excited. But yeah, I guess I don't know what direction to go with the crystals, but I want to tap your brain. I don't
I'm
even
in my
offer on it.
I'm in my crystal cavern right now. I actually do have some really big pieces of moldavite in here. One of my favorite crystals these days is actually Lemurian quartz. I'm holding like one here with like all these rainbows in it. It's really
beautiful. It has like a light ball in the middle.
It has like, there's like angel wings in here. There's rainbows. Yeah, there's lots going on. Yeah, so Lemurian quartz is probably one of my go-to crystals right now, but I love them all. I've worked with moldavite quite a bit, black tourmaline. I think the reason why I'm being so called to Lemurian over the last year is because they have a lot of encoded information in them from, you know, other civilizations and times where we're meant to sort of have that information now. And so they're really good for grid work and energy work, and yeah, they're just such an amplifier of energy. So love my Lemurians. I'll show you some of my big moldavite pieces if you want to see it.
100% yes,
it's right here.
So for anyone listening, make sure you check out the YouTube video if you want the crystal show.
Let's see here.
This I also like, love, I have a Lemurian crystal point, moldavite, and one that my shaman gave me are my three that I keep with me everywhere.
Ooh. Wow. This should be at the shop, but it's still here.
You didn't feel attached to it?
Yeah. That's another big piece there.
This is my Alex, are you familiar?
I am not familiar. I mean, with crystals, yes. I'm surrounded by crystals, but not specific. So, I mean, feel free. I would actually love for you to speak about it. I think that most of the people who listen to this show, we've talked about crystals, but I would love to just hear what's your relationship to them? How are they empowered for you? And how do you utilize them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, for me, it's really the fact that they have so much wisdom in them. And I see crystals as alive beings that have consciousness. And so, especially during this time when everything is slowly moving into a more crystalline state, including like our physical bodies, our light body, crystals are a really great ally to work with. I've seen in like the past 2 years, really, I think it goes in waves with crystals, but really like it's all over TikTok now. It's all over all these Instagram lives, and it's becoming really, I think it's becoming really mainstream, and that's a good thing and maybe not a good thing, because a lot of people don't understand like how to actually work with them. I'm actually going to be teaching some crystal courses and things like that, because I never really did that before, but I just see so much out there, and it, you know, people need to have that understanding of the fact that, you know, they are quite powerful and we can use them, but so it's more like just like, I'm going to collect a million crystals. And that's not really what they're meant for.
That's really great that you're doing that, because people can get themselves in trouble without understanding that it also, they carry energy, right? And how to properly cleanse them or work with them. What are you going to teach in the crystals class? Just like the kind of those principles of how to work with them? Or
yeah, I think even just like starting with the basics on, you know, how the structure of them, with where they actually come from, you know, how old and ancient they are. And then the different energetics of them and how we can work with them, especially like different types of crystals, like Lemurian, for example. You know, I don't think a lot of people really realize what they hold. And even for things like grid work, using crystals for grid work and even energy healing, I just don't see, I'm just looking forward to bringing my own touch to it.
All that. So how do, you know, when you're just talking about, how does someone introduce, if you're introducing someone to working with crystals, like where would you have them start?
Like what type of crystals?
Like in general, you know, I think that especially like, you know, like I work with a lot of men, and most of them view crystals as like these like things that women have in their house.
Yeah.
Right. And so like what, like how would you have somebody that has a kind of just viewed them as these like decorative items open up to a new relationship or empowered relationship with them?
Yeah. And I think that like, I find that a lot of men are actually, a lot of men are working with crystals and are drawn to crystals. I think working with stones for men like black tourmaline or pyrite, like things that men would want, like maybe they need more grounding, you know, so, or maybe they're businessmen, like a business person will come into the shop and they'll be like, you know, I need more abundance in my business. So and then just having like even tiger eye is a really good one for men. In general, I think they could be viewed more for women, but a lot of men are also, there are certain things like, we make these really nice black tourmaline necklaces, and I have guys that like will not take them off. Black tourmaline and shungite. I think most men don't want EMF interference. So a stone like shungite would be really good for, you know, someone working on a computer all the time or on their cell phone all the time.
Do you think that it, like, how much importance to where people source their crystals? Because nowadays, right, crystals are everywhere.
Yeah. I think it's very important. And then, you know, a lot of people are getting their crystals from China and things like that. And it's also...
ordering them on Amazon.
Yes, ordering them on Amazon. I handpick all the crystals that I buy, which is not very good for productivity in terms of time, but I still do it. I still do it because I like to feel their energy and have a connection with them. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, my crystals are ethically sourced. And I do my best to ethically source, but if people are being actually truthful, it's kind of not, like, I see shops that are definitely saying they're ethically sourced and there's no way they could be. But I think consciously sourced is a better way of viewing it and saying it. And then, you know, yeah, that's why I pick everything myself. I hold it, I touch it, I make sure that energetically it feels good. Because some crystals are just not happy, depending on what mine they were pulled out of, the conditions they were pulled out of, where they came from. So it is very important to know the source of where you're getting them from.
And that's such an interesting thing that happens too, right? When something like this becomes popular and a trend, like, I love seeing it become a trend, but then we're so, like, all about so much consumption and, you know, like, how many, you know, having all of the crystals, and then what is going to happen down the road to get more crystals for more people? Like, what corners are going to be cut? So guys, definitely, check out Rebecca's site and Shaman Sisters, and in general, that's just, like, really good advice. What can people do to make sure, you know, if they're not going to your site, that where they're getting them, like, how can they do the best job possible to get something that also has the energetics? The thing that irritates me too is the fakes, you know, like people thinking that they're getting something that is going to help them in some way. And I know a lot of it's about the intention, so they'll still have the intention around it and some benefit, but you know, still there's a lot of junk out there.
Yeah, I think just if it's, like, off a website, then reading, because the website should share something, some kind of information on where they're sourcing them from. And then if it's online and they don't have anything like that, then I would suggest probably moving on. Or some of these big places that are just pumping out crystals like crazy and doing all these lives. And I personally feel like that's just consumption. So yeah, finding, like, the smaller people that handpick their crystals, that have, you know, felt their energy, I think that's probably the best way to get them.
We tell us a little bit about quantum healing and what that means to you and how you practice it.
Yes. So energy work I've been doing for probably close to 15 years, took many different types of energy healing. And then a few years ago, you know, it is some of it is part of my shamanic trainings as well, like doing soul retrievals and stuff. But I also took more. I wanted to expand in my energy healing, so I learned quantum healing, and it's quite powerful. It's energy work, but it's also going into quantum fields and other timelines and other lifetimes. Even it has to do with often, like, retrieving soul pieces that may have been left in another, you know, in another timeline with trauma. So, like, other past life stuff will come up quite a bit. Reclaiming soul pieces and also clearing out, like, you know, our ancestry, our lineage. Like, we're carrying not only our own stuff, but we're also carrying stuff from our ancestors. And a lot of that is all coming up in the quantum field, or coming up in, like, this incarnation with some kind of, you know, pattern or something like that. So it's kind of working through finding those patterns and sort of working in different timelines as well, sort of healing the timelines if there was some kind of trauma or something like that, or even contracts, you know, things like curses and all those types of things that exist So it the way I work with my quantum sessions, it's different every time, and it's whatever comes up. And it's, for me, it's similar to Cambo. It's like, a lot of times they're just trying to get some kind of healing, like whether it's like a physical issue, like a shoulder pain that they've had for 10 years and they've done everything, and it's something more energetic that needs to be looked at. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
How is the quantum healing like impacted your life directly? Aside from it being part of what you do, how has it actually changed your like personal life?
I mean, it's opened up my awareness into other realms and dimensions, definitely. You know, it's opened up, it's expanded how I view the field, you know, the field of consciousness and the other timelines that we're interacting with, and seeing, like, you know, even though we're in this physical body with this, in this realm, there's a lot going on that's happening at the same time, and we can access that. We can access that, and it's not just the bad, you know, the bad stuff, the trauma, the things like that. It's the gifts, is they're also there as well. So we can access this through the quantum field. So yes, it's definitely, I had to think about it, but it's changed my life in a lot of ways, being able to really retrieve things for other people, but also bring that into how I live my life, and understanding, like even just like going back in time to older versions of myself, or like, you know, past versions, but also going in the future to future versions of myself and bringing those aspects in. All that is possible.
How do you go about doing that? And with your clients, like, how do you know, maybe this is a silly question, but like to go backwards or to go forward, or how do you know like what timeline to go into, or is it all spontaneous in the experience and led by something else?
Yeah. If I'm in a session, it's all spontaneous. It's just what shows up. So it's basically, yeah, it just takes me there. It's really quite incredible. And, it'll start usually with like a feeling, like I'll be guided into a specific type part of the light body or physical ailment. And then if it's connected to something in the past or another timeline, it will take me into that. Sometimes I have a lot of access and I can see a lot of what's going on. And it's whatever I'm given access to. Sometimes it's very explicit and very, you know, clear. And I just deliver that to the client. And yeah, it's quite amazing actually, because yeah, most times it's very, they have a resonance with it, or it's something that they are already aware of. So it's quite interesting.
What would you leave?
And how would,
our internet paused for a second. What would you want to leave like this audience with? If we just kind of like open the floor for you to share anything, is there anything that you would love to share with them that we haven't asked you about?
One thing that I really, that I love, I think one of my biggest parts of my practice and what I work with the most and what has changed my life is really just actually prayer. And I love to talk about prayer. I love to really instill in people like how powerful prayer is, like how much has changed everything I have in my life is due to, honestly, to prayer. And I think in this time, one of the most important things we can do, other than like working with crystals and doing all these different things, is just like actually going within our own being and really just getting really centered in our heart and pray. I think there's a lot of I used to have a lot of programming around prayer as well, growing up in a religious family and things. So I had to really break that down. But it doesn't have to be in any specific way. It can be, sometimes my prayer is just like when I'm lying in bed in the morning for 5 minutes. And I just pray that way. So there's so many different ways that you can incorporate prayer into your life.
Totally agree.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, our way of communicating with the divine and connecting with the divine. And it's funny, I'm just sitting here that you're talking. I'm like, man, we have all these tools. And it's so funny because we talked about like sage and like crystals and like all of these tools that we use, but they're just like an extra part of the ritual to facilitate, right? Like it's really actually like we are the vessel of transformation. Like your heart is the most powerful thing and prayer is the tool. That's the main thing.
And that's a lot of times why we use all these tools, and we use all these tools in prayer, in ceremony, or whatever it is that we're doing. But really, it's, yeah, I think that you're exactly that. We have that. It doesn't require anything, and we can use it anytime.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
For...
Thank you so much. That was a great way to end. I love that. Sorry, my internet, I think, is being wacky right now. I'm not trying to keep talking over Alex.
Totally okay. The benefits of being able to podcast with anyone, anywhere, anytime, and the consequences, right? Like of having to be with whatever the internet also brings us. Thank you so much. I'm going to leave this to you, to Corinne, to wrap us up. But I just want to say thank you. I love when I get introduced to new things on this show. It's my favorite part. So your journey in shamanism and combo, just I find myself very piqued, and like, you know, I love the journey I've been on, experimenting with different plants and different things, and getting to see different aspects of myself and my life. But it also feels really good to say, hey, this is like not a journey. This is a different type of experience that doesn't necessarily take you on that kind of a journey, but still provides a lot of value and can be really helpful. So thanks for introducing this this practice to us today.
You're welcome. Yeah, I look forward to hearing how it goes if you go for a session.
I will be going for a session. I'll just be finding out, trying to find a good person in the San Diego area.
So. Amazing.
Thank you.
I have no doubt you'll find them. And then maybe we can interview them for another episode of the Frequency Shifters later on. Thank you again, Rebecca. It was so great to finally connect with you and in real life here, and learned so much from you today. Thanks for being with us. Could you just let everybody know where to find you? So the best place to connect if they're interested, you know, if they're in Canada and interested in combo or quantum healing, I'm assuming you maybe do that online as well. And of course you have your shop.
So it's shamansisters.com is my website. And then Instagram is also Shaman Sisters. And then I also have a personal Instagram. It's Rebecca's Dream. And then I tend to be a little bit more open about certain things and that on my personal Instagram. So that's something people could check out as well. And for Cambo, I have CamboHealing.com. But your viewers are probably going to be all over the place.
That's all right. We put the show, we'll put all those links below in the show notes. Right, Alex? All right.
People can find you everywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you again just so much for being here. And thank you to all of our amazing listeners for tuning in for another episode. And we'll see you back sometime soon with the Frequency Shifter Show.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate,
leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.